Utishtav.
Kindly get up.
Atata.
My dear son. Te.
They.
Ime.
All these.
Shishavaha.
Children.
Vayas.
Yaha.
Playmates.
Twam.
You.
Avayanti.
Our calling.
Ripanandana.
O son of the king.
Song vihartum.
To play with.
Suptaha.
You have slept.
Chidam.
For a long time.
He.
Indeed.
Ashaniha.
By hunger.
Cha.
Also.
Vavan.
You.
Faritaha.
Overcome.
Mungshva.
Please eat.
Snanam.
At the breast of your mother.
Biba.
Drink.
Ashuchaha.
Lamentation.
Vodo.
Just dissipate.
Naha.
Of us.
Swakaham.
Your relatives.
So translation,
my dear son, you have slept a long time.
Now please get up.
Your playmates are calling you to play.
Since you must be very hungry,
please get up and suck my breast and dissipate our lamentation.
So you can repeat, my dear son.
You have slept a long time.
Now please get up.
Your playmates are calling you to play.
Since you must be very hungry,
please get up
and suck my breast
and dissipate our lamentation.
So there's no purport to this text nor the next few texts, so we'll just keep reading until we get to one of Srila Prabhupada's purports.
So text 58.
Naham tanuja dadrushe hatamangalate mugda smitam mudita vikshanam shanam ananabjam kim vakatos shapunar anvayam manyalokam nito grinnena nashinomi kalagiraste.
My dear son, I am certainly most unfortunate, for I can no longer see your mild smiling. You have closed your eyes forever. I therefore conclude that you have not been taken from this planet to another from which you will not return. You have been taken from this planet to another from which you will not return. My dear son, I can no longer hear your pleasing voice.
Text 59.
Shishukuvacha. Vilapancha mritam putram iti chitra vilapanahai chitraketu vrisham tapto muktakanto rurodaha.
Sri Shukadeva Goswami continued, accompanied by his wife who was thus lamenting for her dead son, King Chitraketu began crying loudly with an open mouth, being greatly aggrieved. And text 60.
Tayor vilapato sarve dampatyusta nanuvrataha rurudusmana ranarya sarvamasid achetanam.
As the king and queen lamented, all their male and female followers joined them in crying.
Because of the sudden accident, all the citizens of the kingdom were almost unconscious.
Text 61.
Evam kashmalam apanam nasta samgyam anayakam gatvangira namarishir ajagama sanaradaha.
When the great sage Angira understood that the king was almost dead in an ocean of lamentation, he went there with Narada Muni, or Narada Rishi.
Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the sixth canto, 14th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled King Chitraketu's
lamentation. So now we'll continue with chapter 15. Chapter 15 is entitled, The Saints Nanda and Angira Instruct King Chitrakethu. So, chapter summary. In this chapter, Angira Rishi, along with Narada, consoles Chitrakethu as far as possible. Angira and Narada Rishi came to relieve the king from excessive lamentation by instructing him about the spiritual significance of life. The great saints, Angira and Narada, explained that the relationship between father and son is not factual. It is simply a representation of the illusory energy. The relationship did not exist before, nor will it stay in the future. By the arrangement of time, the relationship exists only in the present. One should not lament for temporary relationships. The entire cosmic manifestation is temporary, although not unreal, it is not factual. By the direction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, everything created in the material world is transient. By a temporary arrangement, a father begets a child, or a living entity becomes the child of a so-called father. This temporary arrangement is made by the Supreme Lord. Neither the father nor the son exists independently. As the king listened to the great sages, he was relieved from his false lamentation, and then he inquired about their identity. The great sages presented who they were and instructed that all sufferings are due to the bodily conception of life. When one understands his spiritual identity and surrenders to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the supreme spiritual person, one becomes actually happy. When one searches for happiness in matter, one must certainly lament for bodily relationships. Self-realization means spiritual realization of one's relationship with Krishna. Such realization ends one's miserable material life. So, we'll read the next two verses. The second verse does have a purport. So, text one. Shishukur vacha uchatur mrittako pante patitam mrittako para pramam shaka vi bhutam rajanam bodhiyantau sad uptigbi. Sri Shukadeva Goswami said, while King Chitrakethu, overcome by lamentation, lay like a dead body at the side of the dead body of his son, the two great sages, Narada and Angira, instructed him about spiritual consciousness as follows. And finally, text 2. Koyam syattava rajendra bhavanyam anushochati tvam chasya katama shristau pure dhanim ataparam. O king, what relationship does the dead body for which you lament have with you? And what relationship do you have with him? You may say that you are now related as father and son, but do you think this relationship existed before? Does it truly exist now? Will it continue in the future? So, purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. The instructions given by Narada and Angira Muni are the true spiritual instructions for the illusioned conditioned soul. This world is temporary, but because of our previous karma, we come here and accept bodies, creating temporary relationships in terms of society, friendship, love, nationality, and community, which are all finished at death. These temporary relationships did not exist in the past, nor will they exist in the future. Therefore, at the present moment, the so-called relationships are illusions. Heavy preaching. So, Omaganata Vrandasya Gananjana Shlakaya Chapshur and Minitam Yenitasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. So, as Krishna states in the Gita, Nasato Vijade Bhavo Nabhavo Vijade Sataha Ubayo Drishtavam Tas Dvanios Tatvadarshavi. And we quoted that verse yesterday too. That those things which have a beginning and an end, which are not eternal, are considered unreal. And those things which continue to exist are real. Now, it doesn't mean that the material world is unreal in an absolute sense. It's not like the impersonalists or Mayavadis say that the material world is just an illusion. It's really there, but it just doesn't exist for a long period of time. You know, bhutva pralayate. The statement is there in the Gita. Again and again, it's manifested, and again, it's destroyed. Or as Prabhupada said, very nicely summarizing the whole thing, he said the whole show is only temporary. Or as our good friend Shakespeare said, life struts and frets his time upon the stage and then is heard no more. You've heard that quote before. In other words, it's like the curtain comes up on this life, you know, all the players come out, and the curtain goes down at the end of this life. And sometimes you even see dramatists and actors, they get attached to their temporary roles, and they start to live their roles. Isn't it? There's an expert dramatist there. And they even get married to the person who they're married to in the film or into the in the Broadway play, and then they get divorced when the play is over, so... So the temporary things, they exist, but they're not real. In other words, they're here for some time. It's just like, another example is will-o'-the-wisp. I mean, that's an expression that Prabhupada would use too. Or an expression that I use, it's like the soap bubbles that little kids blow when they're young. You know, they have these little round things, they stick it into, I used to do that all the time. And they... It's there, and then you chase after that bubble, and then as soon as you catch the bubble, guess what? It's gone. So that's the nature of this material world. But at the same time, people do have affection for these things. You know, for their children, they have affection for their parents. And so, what do we do about that? Well, first of all, Krishna gives us instructions in the Gita. I was relating to one very interesting verse in Srila Prabhupada's Gita in the third chapter of the Gita, how we deal with people, because we can't always deal with people, as we're going to hear Narada Muni and Angira Muni dealing with King Chitraketu and his family. I mean, you have to understand someone's practical position. Even in the Bhagavatam, it's mentioned that Narada Muni didn't come in the beginning when Angira came, because Narada Muni generally preaches renunciation. And so Angira was sort of like placating the king, you know, not exactly telling the king about the nature of this material world. He said, oh, you can have a son. He's going to be known as Harshashoka. You know, he's going to give you lamentation and some happiness. And because the king was so attached, King Chitraketu was so attached, he didn't understand what was happening. He just thought, that's an ordinary child. You know, ordinary children give the parents some lamentation. You know, they cry a little bit. But mostly it's bliss, hearing their cooing and their sweet smiles. So he didn't understand. So basically, Angira couldn't really just like give him the sauce, so to speak. And he had to wait until Chitraketu had this particular experience. So Krishna in the Gita, in the third chapter, text 26, says, so as not to disrupt the minds of ignorant men attached to the fruitive results of prescribed duties, a learned person should not induce them to stop work, or in other words, disturb their minds. Rather, by working in the spirit of devotion, he should engage them and all sorts of activities, and explained here, for the gradual development of Krishna consciousness. So in other words, it's not that we should be preaching heavily like this to everybody unless they're ready to hear. We should encourage them, just do some service for Krishna, engage them in Krishna's service, because people do have their attachments. Ultimately, they do come to the realization that those attachments are the cause of the suffering. In fact, even in Buddhism, you know, Buddha has his four noble truths. And the first one is material world is suffering. And of course, Krishna confirms this in the Gita, Brahma, Bhuvana, Loka, Puna, Bharati, Arjuna. He says, from the highest planet to the lowest planet, everything is suffering. There's birth, death, disease, and old age. Even Lord Brahma is suffering. I mean, he's not suffering like the physical pain that we experience in the earthly planet. And the heavenly planets, they don't have this physical pain. But they experience anxiety because of their attachments. You know, they're attached to their position, so the demigods are in anxiety. But who's going to take over? They're fighting with the demons. And Lord Brahma's, you know, just the anxiety about all of us. And he's looking down at all of us, the demigods, the demons fighting, the earthlings killing the cows. And, you know, can you imagine? We're all, in one sense, Lord Brahma's descendants. So it's a big family. So he's looking at all of us and seeing, boy, my children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, they're acting like a bunch of rascals. And so it's suffering from the highest planet to the lowest planet. And Lord Buddha, of course, says material existence is suffering. And then Lord Buddha, in his second noble truth, he says the suffering is caused by attachment. That's interesting. You know, just like, I'll give you an example. Let's say attachment, not so much to the body. I mean, yes, it relates to the body, but let's give a more common example of things we always experience. Let's say a computer. I mean, with me, attachments are more focused on electronic gadgets. So my computer went down a while ago, and it caused me great suffering. I was in anxiety. I couldn't sleep. You know, everybody has their different attachments in this world. But actually, Prabhupada said, even if you have a little attachment, even if you're attached to a computer, you can't go back to Godhead. You have to take birth again. So anyway, so because of that attachment, I was suffering. But when I hear about someone else's computer, you know, if it breaks down, like if Jagadguru comes to me and says, my internet connection caused me suffering. But anyway, because his is connected with mine. But if he says his computer just like went kaput, then they say, oh, that's interesting. It's just interesting. You know, doesn't cause me any suffering. Or if someone else crashes his car, it doesn't cause me any suffering. But if I look at my car and there was a devotee who attracts deer to his car. His car is a deer magnet, you know. It's like three or four times. You know, somehow or other, the deer just like see his car and they just smash him to the side. And it just causes him suffering. And even when I go to open up the back of his car, because I guess the deer damaged it or something like that, and pulls off the sheet metal, and he gets an anxiety when I open up the back of his car because he's afraid that I'm going to pull off the sheet metal. Because it's his car. But if I do it in my car, he doesn't give a damn. So it's all... It's all a question of identification, you know, possession, I and mine type of thing. So there's so many examples we can give to prove that attachment causes suffering. So that's a second noble truth. And Krishna also says the same thing, you know. And then the third one is give up the attachment, give up the suffering. You know, if you give up the attachment, you won't suffer. And then the fourth one, of course, is the Eightfold Path. We follow the Eightfold Path. That's the method of giving up the attachment. But unfortunately, Buddha didn't present the whole thing because really you can't give up the attachment. You can't do a don't, as we often say. Like I've gone to many devotees in the course of my devotional service and told them not to be attached. And each and every time I say that, it makes them angry. You know, every time I say, don't be attached to your parents, don't be attached to your body. If someone's lying in the hospital, you know, you're not in pain. Don't experience the pain. You know, it just makes them angry. Generally makes them angry. Because you can't, as I mentioned before, you can't do a don't. So we actually have a positive way. I've learned in the course of my devotional service not to give up attachment. That sounds interesting. But to become attached to something else. And that's, you know, raso varjam, raso pyasha, param jishna nivartante. That's what Krishna teaches in the Bhagavad Gita. Vishaya vinivartante nirasya dehina. Rasa Varjam, Shopyasha, Parandrishnam Jarta, that the embodied soul experiences, you know, attachment in this world, but experiencing a higher taste, he gives up that attachment. I'm paraphrasing that verse, of course. And so, what that means is, not just a higher taste in terms of like some shaking and ecstasy, you know, today I'm ecstatic, but to have a higher taste in terms of relationships. Because things are based on relationships. You know, attachments are based on relationships. Like my relationship with my computer. Because I can't say it's an exchange of rasas. Like Prabhupada said, you can only exchange rasas with someone of the same species. I don't think my computer is the same species as me. Until artificial intelligence becomes developed to the extent, you know, where I can actually have a conversation with my computer. A two-way conversation. So it's based on relationship, you know. Of course, that's known as sambandha, you know, relationship. You know, what is your relationship with Krishna? What is your relationship with the spiritual master? What is your relationship with the other devotees? So it's not wrong to have a sense of, you know, relationship, like, let's say, to understand who your real father is. I mean, your real father is Krishna and also the spiritual master. Just like, it's an interesting story. When Narada Muni was preaching to the Haryashvas and the Savalashvas, you know, the sons of Daksha, Daksha had 10,000 sons and then 1,000 sons, and Narada Muni came to them while they were performing austerities. And one of the things he said is, you know, who's your real father? Because you're following the order of your father. Because, you know, they were following the order of their father, Daksha. And Daksha's order was perform austerities. Why? Because we want you to follow in the family business. What was the family business? Having babies. Or having been a prajapati. I mean, just like, before I joined the movement, I mean, after I joined the movement, my father said, you should follow in the family business. Open up a cleaning business. And I said to my father, I'm in the cleaning business already. You know, Cheto Darpana Marjanam, we clean people's hearts. He said, no, he meant dry cleaning. I said, also, we dry clean too. We don't use water for it. So Narada Muni presented. Anyway, so Daksha, he wanted his children to follow in his business of being a prajapati, and for various reasons, basically they were spiritual. It was mixed because it was a service to Krishna. It wasn't completely like an illusion, but he had material desires, which is also interesting for us, because sometimes we're given a service for Krishna. And then we just sort of mix our material desires and be overcome by illusion. Let's say one becomes a temple president or something like that. As Prabhupada said, when you go to, someone goes to Lanka, they become Ravana. So it's not that a temple president becomes Ravana. But by getting power, position, prestige, then we experience this all the time in the GBC. Isn't it? When one takes a position, sometimes they just like, the power just goes to their head, you know, when the charisma that's been given by Krishna and Prabhupada goes to their head, and they become uncontrollable after some time, because of that. That's Prabhupada's expression. You go to Lanka and you become Ravana. That's why Prabhupada wanted us to, guide the movement in a, teamwork way, rather than, you know, just like, one big acharya or something like that, because then it goes to people's heads. So in the performance of devotional service, we can get materially attached to the fruits of our devotional service, to the process of the devotional service, and it can actually increase our false ego. Of course, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur talks about that the byproducts of bhakti can be one of the causes of anarthas. So Daksha was subject to that. Anyway, so Narada Muni, he preached to the Haryashvas and Savalashvas saying, who was your father? He didn't disagree that you should follow the order of your father, but who was your father? And he didn't disagree that one should have affection for the father, but who was your father? And who was your mother? So this is the point.
So we transfer that affection that we naturally have for our family members. It's a natural part of the soul to have affection for those who are related to you. Nothing wrong with it. We're not Mayavadis. Mayavadis will say, you know, basically you shouldn't have affection for anybody. And that's kind of hard. You shouldn't have affection. I mean, you should be, a psychopath or something like that. But then you have affection for yourself if you're a psychopath, isn't it? Then you're just like thinking, doing everything for yourself, you don't give a damn, you don't have no empathy for anyone else. So my vibe philosophy is psychopathology. So, yes, we should have affection. I mean, if you listen to the lives of these great devotees, how they have so much affection for themselves, for each other. I mean, I was just reading the story of Ramchandra Chakravarti and Narottama Das Thakur, how they were such good friends, not even the guru-disciple relationship, they were friends, they were buddies. And they were inseparable. When Narottama Das Thakur ordered Ramchandra Chakravarti to go visit his wife, he couldn't even leave. He just went a few feet away, started sweeping the temple, felt real guilty that he was doing that, and he started hitting himself with a broom. And Narottama Das Thakur said, "Why are you hitting me?" So there was so much affection there. So much affection, so much love. So, and between Vaishnavas, there should be so much love, so much affection. And then we see, but it's all based on the hierarchy of Krishna, being connected to Krishna, connected to the spiritual master. I mean, just like I was thinking yesterday about my relationship with Prabhupada, and I was thinking, you know, that, you know, I've dedicated my life to serving Prabhupada's mission. I wouldn't go anywhere else because I love Prabhupada. And so that sort of keeps me from being affectionate to things of this world. I mean, I'm also affectionate to my father, but it's not, I haven't dedicated, you know, my material father, blood father, but I haven't dedicated my whole existence to him. In one sense I have, because I've taken up devotional service, you know, he's getting spiritual benefit, but I'm not gonna, if he was alive, I wouldn't go and do what he says. I wouldn't, the same thing with my mother, because I've transferred that. You understand? So that's really how we can overcome this. Rather than just hearing about how the material, you know, we understand philosophically the material world is temporary, all these relationships are temporary, but that doesn't get us out of the attachment. What gets us out of the attachment is the superior relationship. That's the superior taste, actually. You know, people often misunderstood what the superior taste or a higher taste is. They think the higher taste is just, you know, shaking, crying in the eyes. These are symptoms of the higher taste. The bhavas are symptoms of love. But the love itself is the relationship, the sambandha, the relationship with the beloved. And that's Krishna, spiritual master, other devotees. And of course we can love the other jiva souls in terms of trying to help them. So Krishna consciousness is a movement of love and affection. And then automatically, rasa vajram rasa pisha param drishtadi vartate, you become detached. That's vairagya. Vairagya vidya nija bhakti yoga shiksharta eka purusha parana Shri Krishna Chaitanya Shavira Dari Kripam Buddhya Vyastvam Aham Prabhadya Yasa Vavama Bhattacharya. Pray to Lord Chaitanya. You've come to teach vairagya, give a detachment from this material and vidya, knowledge, but by the process of bhakti yoga. Bhakti yoga means the yoga of love and devotion and ultimately attachment to higher spiritual objects or persons. Bhakti yoga. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Sharira Dari. And in order to do that, you've appeared in the form of Shri Krishna Chaitanya. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Sharira Dari. Kripam Bhudir Yathvam. You're an ocean of compassion. Aham Prapadye, I surrender to you. So anyway, so we only have about 3 or 4 minutes left to class. So any questions about any of these points? Yeah.
Translation said that they came to save him from excessive lamentation, because even a pure devotee grieves when somebody dies. I mean,
yes,
it's not illusion to grieve.
Yeah, you grieve, but
we grieve in a way that's helpful to the person. It's a, we grieve in a loving way. Only a devotee can, only a pure devotee, of course, can actually love someone. Generally, you're grieving because of yourself. You're grieving because, you know, what am I going to do without John? Who's going to pay the bills now? You know, just like you see all these things, the mother and father of this Harsha Ashoka were thinking, oh, how are we going to appreciate your smile anymore? Are we going to, you know, suck my breast? You know, all these things that are based upon themselves. Whereas a devotee, when they grieve, let's say a devotee grieves for some other spiritual person. Now, we miss their association to that spiritual, someone who is actually enlivening us in Krishna consciousness. Or we grieve because they didn't have an opportunity to advance in devotional service. But if someone leaves in a very wonderful way, hearing about Krishna, then it's a mixed thing. We're grieving because we're losing their association, and we're celebrating because they went back to the spiritual world. I mean, that's what I say when a devotee has the opportunity to help their parents remember Krishna at the time of death. I say that was a very auspicious departure. So, yes, we grieve because we miss them. But, you know, excessive grief means to lose our spiritual composure. So grieving can be there. And obviously, because of our spiritual relationships, and when we lose the spiritual master, like when Prabhupada left this planet, I mean, there was intense grieving. I mean, all of us cried for days and days and days, and Prabhupada said that's the appropriate response because we're losing the spiritual association. But we weren't grieving because of sense gratification. You know, we were grieving because of loss of spiritual connection. And then Prabhupada said that if one takes up the mission of the spiritual master upon the departure of the spiritual master, then the super soul becomes manifest before one. So that's, otherwise one should be ready to leave the body with the spiritual master. Not leave the movement. You know, we find some, I mean, just like I was writing to someone yesterday, they were complaining, you know, there's all these different little controversial issues in ISKCON, you know, the books, you know, have they been edited or not edited, you know. And they said, well, because of all this controversy with the books, I'm leaving the movement. I said, Hare Krishna, but you're disobeying one of Prabhupada's primary instructions, which is to remain in a society and cooperate. And you know, you're throwing the baby away with the bathwater. You know, even if there is something going on that you don't, that's not cricket, that's not kosher, sorry. That's not kosher. And you know, the movement's not perfect. But Prabhupada said it's like a boat, you know, you don't jump off a boat because it happens to be rocking. That's kind of stupid, isn't it? The boat rocks. You say, oh, I'm getting seasick, so let me jump in the water. You're an idiot. You think you're going to be safe jumping in the water? Prabhupada said one who leaves the International Society of Krishna Consciousness is living in hallucination, thinking they're Krishna conscious, is living in hallucination. So you stay within Prabhupada's movement. That's all. And that's the connection with Prabhupada. And that's the way to actually properly grieve for Prabhupada. A departure from this world, just to stay connected with Prabhupada. I mean, when Prabhupada left this world, I became more determined to serve his mission. Because that's my connection with Prabhupada. This movement. So, we have about 10 seconds left. Any other questions or comments? What's that? Quick. 10 seconds. Yeah, to forgive. Bhakti means cooperation, Prabhupada said. And that means we tolerate. But our highest priority should be to serve Prabhupada and stay in Prabhupada's society. Based on that highest priority, we should be ready to tolerate anything. I hope Krishna didn't hear that one.